greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians, who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable.
This is a teaching that you're going to want to listen, take notes, and hear over and over again. Now let's get right into Ray at this conference, and we just want to thank the people at the Calvary Bible Conference for allowing us to upload these. See you on the other side.
You've probably known, you've probably told people that during the tribulation period, there's going to be a one-world religion, right? Universal world religion, right? Well, that religion is here now. It's not coming in the future. It's here right now. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. And the word mystery there in the Greek is mysterion. And that's where we get our word mysticism from. So I believe that Paul was talking about what we're seeing now. That over the last, well, since the 1960s, there's been a mystical revolution in the Western world. Not just North America, but Europe, Australia, New Zealand, just all over the Western world. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, or this afternoon, where it came from, where it's going, and the impact it's having on our society. This is not a conspiracy theory. How many of you have ever been told you're a conspiracy theorist, right? Well, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is fact. And a number of university professors have written books on this. This is called The Making of the New Spirituality by James Herrick. And Dr. Herrick says the revealed word tradition, that's Christianity, the Bible, is being slowly dismantled in society and being replaced by the new religious synthesis, which is New Age spirituality. That's what Warren Smith and I call the New Age, the New Spirituality. New Age is a term that was used quite a bit in the 80s, but since then it's been mainly discarded by New Agers themselves. Another book called Spiritual But Not Religious. How many of you met people say they're spiritual but not religious? Quite a few, right? Well, usually the people that say that are, you know, people involved in New Age religion. And according to Fuller's book, huge numbers, well, Americans or Canadians, it doesn't, you know, the same type of situations going on, have embraced what he refers to as unchurched spirituality, which is in effect New Age spirituality, because in mysticism you don't need a church. So you need a church to worship, you know, to sing hymns and hear sermons. But in New Age spirituality, you get your sermons from unseen realms. So you don't need to gather collectively in a church. Okay, this is a book called Bad Religion. This wasn't written by a professor, it was written by a journalist from the New York Times. And he referred to this phenomenon as the slow motion collapse of traditional faith and the rise of a variety of pseudo-Christianities that stroke our egos, indulge our follies, and encourage our worst impulses. Baylor University, which is a Baptist university in Texas, did a survey and found out that 26 million Americans view God as a cosmic force rather than a personal being. And like I said, this would hold true in Canada as well. And I'll get into that later. I've incorporated some Canadian statistics into my talk. Most of my research is done in the States. That's where I'm from. And so I apologize if it's kind of U.S.-centric, but I'm very much interested in the situation here in Canada also and try to keep up with it. I have information from Maclean's magazine that's coming up here pretty soon. So they see God as a cosmic force rather than a personal being. That's very important to remember. And this would be more adherence. That means there's more people who believe in God as a cosmic force than there are Episcopalians, Lutherans, Presbyterians, United Methodists, and Seventh-day Adventists combined. So we're looking at a very large phenomenon here. We're not looking at some fringe, you know, countercultural type phenomenon. We're looking at, they have more followers than these denominations put together. On Amazon, there are 280,000 titles on New Age subjects. 280,000. So the interest in this subject is absolutely phenomenal. And that is why I've followed it for so long. I've been researching for nearly 30 years. It is the bookstore in my hometown, Salem, Oregon, Borders. It's the equivalent of Chapters here in Canada. Okay, when I first started researching, there were only 5 shelves in mall bookstores devoted to this subject. Now, there were 65 shelves. So it went from 5 shelves to 65 shelves. So you can understand by the law of the market that we're looking at, a massive explosion, the mystical explosion, you know, not just slow growth, but a gigantic spurt in interest. Okay, all that section is New Age, and all that section on the other side of the aisle is New Age. So 65 shelves devoted to New Age material. And it gets even worse than that. There's a website on the internet called The Witch's Voice, and they have information how to practice witchcraft. And they first came online in 1997, and since then, they have had 433 million hits since 1997. Now, that's more people, or about the population of Great Britain, Spain, Canada, and the U.S. put together. Now, of course, I'm not saying that's how many witches there are, you know, but let's say 3% of that number are, you know, regular users. That's 12 million people. 12 million people, you know, or more, maybe 15 million, but that's how many hits they've gotten since 1997 and continue to get 500,000 hits a week. You know, it's ongoing. 500,000 people a week are going on that website to get information on how to cast spells and practice witchcraft. By the way, it's called Wicca. Now, how many of you have seen those books, The Complete Idiot's Guide to? Okay, The Complete Idiot's Guide to, like, lawnmower repair, or The Complete Idiot's Guide to ice hockey, or they have different terms for it. But it's not specifically a religious book. It's on all sorts of practical ways to conduct your life. Well, The Complete Idiot's Guide puts out a manual on Wicca and witchcraft. 300 pages, folks. 300 pages. By the way, how many of you recognize this book? I mean, the logo now. You've seen it in bookstores, yeah. So you know that this company puts out a book on a wide variety of subjects, but it's interesting they would put out a book on Wicca and witchcraft. That means that a lot of people are interested, right? Well, what's kind of surprising is there's so much interest, they put out a second book on Wicca and witchcraft called Wicca Craft. So they put out 2 books on the subject. Well, interest was so high, they put out a third book on Wicca. Now, those of you who, you know, 20, 30 years ago, if somebody would have told you that a major book company would put out not one but 3 books on witchcraft, you would have probably thought they were crazy, right? But not now. Now, witchcraft is becoming mainstream. It's becoming normal. And they put out 3 other books on occultic subjects. They put out one on paganism, shamanism, and tarot cards. What's also kind of a new phenomenon is there's a lot of interest now with young girls and witchcraft. In one of the major bookstores in the States, Barnes & Noble. I think they have one in Great Falls. I counted 27 shelves that are devoted just to young girls and witchcraft. 27 shelves, and here's a typical, right here, here's a typical cover, Once a Witch. And these books seem to be directed only at like 14, 15, and 16-year-old girls. And here's a sweep. It's a bestseller. The one on the left there, and this is what's on the back cover. Morgan Rollins never thought she was anything other than a typical 16-year-old girl, but when she meets Cal, a captivatingly handsome coven leader, She makes a discovery that turns her whole world upside down. She is a witch. Well, used to be, like back in the 60s, 70s, would be about some girl meeting a handsome football captain, right? Well, now, young girls are meeting handsome coven leaders. You know, and a coven is a witchcraft. There's 13 witches in a coven. So there's been a complete change. And again, there's another cover, Witch Child. 27 shells devoted to this kind of phenomenon. And what drives this mystical revolution is the practice of meditation. Now, by meditation, I'm not talking about just sitting and thinking about things. This type of meditation that's associated with mysticism involves emptying the mind through repetition. And what you do is you chant chanting really is what we're talking about, either silently or out loud. You say the same word or phrase over and over again, and you gradually go into a trance. And this, when you're in this trance, it puts out what's called alpha brain waves. And that's when you're kind of, you're not really asleep, but you're in a trance. You know, your thinking has completely stopped. And this is called the silence. In mystical terminology, this is known as the silence. And you can't really be a New Ager unless you practice this type of thing. I mean, you can't really be a mystic unless you practice this type of activity, because there we have the different types, mantra, breath focus, or percussion sounds. Because meditation is a doorway between worlds, the pathway between dimensions, and these are taken from New Age sources. This is out of my book, but I took these from New Age books. Meditation is the key, the indispensable key, to the highest states of awareness. So this is really what makes somebody a mystic. This movement we're looking at here is not just people who think things intellectually. It's not like being a liberal or conservative. It's not just about using your mind to decipher, you know, what you think is right or wrong. It's about connecting with supernatural forces. It's about going, like I said, the doorway between worlds. You chant these mantras, you go into alpha states, and then you go into a completely different world, and you connect with supernatural forces. This is what people experience. This is also in my book, but this was a woman who began doing meditation. See, one of the problems I face is the term meditation, most people that don't understand what is meant by it. Traditionally, meditation, like in the biblical sense, meditation is just thinking about the Bible. It's just pondering things. But even though they use the same word, it's the total opposite of what biblical meditation is. Okay, one starts by silencing the mind. For many, this is not easy. But when the mind has become silent and still, it is then possible for the divine force to descend and enter into the receptive individual. First it trickles, and later it comes in waves. So when you do this type of meditation where you empty the mind or go into the silence, then you make it possible for this, she calls it the divine force, but I would know it by other terms, to descend and enter into the receptive individual. And this is why these 26 million people in the States now believe that God is a cosmic force, because they have let these forces descend into them and possess them and control them. Okay, meditation is the key to unlocking the door of mediumship. Now, the Bible talks about mediumship. Mediumship is contact with spirits. And for without meditation, there is no mediumship. A total and deep trance occurs when the mind is completely blank. That's the alpha state, when the mind is blank, when mind chatter or thinking has become overridden. If you continue the flow of uninterrupted trance, spirit contact and visions can occur. This is we're getting to okay, now, according to what Paul says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, right? But in the book of Revelation, it says there's 144,000 male Jews preaching the gospel on the earth. You know, 12,000 from each tribe. So do you see what I'm getting at? You know, why isn't the church preaching the gospel? You know, why are there 144,000 male Jews preaching the gospel? That means that, you know, the church is not there. You see what I mean? And to me, that's a very compelling reason. Very compelling. So I just wanted to add that. Tonight we're going to look at something that I consider to be a very important reason why we're living in the last days, because of the nature of it, and also because it's new. This has never been something you found in Western society before. This popped up just probably in the early 1970s. Now, there were probably always somebody doing this somewhere, but very obscure, very small number. You probably wouldn't be able to find somebody. And now, this is very pervasive all over the Western world. And from my perspective, and this is what I hope to show, from my perspective, this is a very, very important reason why we're living in the last days. So we'll get on to it right now. Energy healing. This is a book called The Encyclopedia of Energy Medicine. There are 65 different modalities of what is called energy medicine. 65. And this encyclopedia explains all 65. Now, do you see the person's hands there? There's somebody laying on a table and there's hands there. Well, energy medicine is not massage. It's not anything mechanical. It's very supernatural. Somebody who has been attuned to this energy, they put their hands either gently on you or over you, and this spiritual power flows through them into the person on the table or on the chair or whatever. And I'm not talking about the traditional Pentecostal laying on of hands. This is usually not done in church settings, like, you know, in Pentecostal circles. This is usually done in secular circles. This is usually done in businesses. And usually people that do this charge. You know, they charge like $65 an hour, $85 an hour, $120 an hour. So this is something that you would encounter in the secular world. And it would be promoted as something that was maybe spiritual but not really religious. They would say, well, you can be of any religion and do this or have it done on you. This doesn't conflict with people's religious beliefs. And this is a sizable movement. According to U.S. News and World Report, in the fall of 2007, there were 1.5 million energy healers in the U.S., people using this method. And I was in Europe recently. This is pretty heavy. And in Germany, the person that told me this was reliable. They were from Holland, and they were one of the most prominent Christian cult experts in Europe. His name was Dr. Martin Kamphaus. He was from the Netherlands. He told me there were 1 million energy healers in Germany. Now, that's out of a population of 82 million. So you can see this is pretty sizable. And in Canada, of course, when you go home, see, you don't have to take my word for it. When you go home, all you have to do is Google this, what I'm showing you here, and see for yourself. I'm more or less introducing it to you. Most, if not all, energy healing methods are based on something called the chakras. And that is a Sanskrit term. And the chakras are not physical things. They're more something that you feel. People that are into mysticism claim that they feel these energy centers within them. And they have a spiritual component to them. And this is a book called The Pocket Guide to Chakras. It says the seventh function, there's seven of them supposedly. And I know a lot of you might think, ah, this sounds far out, or this sounds like mumbo jumbo. And I've had people actually not talk to me because I believed that this stuff was real, you know. And it was like, come on, you know, energy doesn't come out of their hands. And I said, oh, yes, it does. And they wouldn't talk to me anymore. It was like, you know, they thought I was out to lunch or something. Okay, the seventh functions like a battery charger, renewing our connection with spirit. Now, by spirit, you'll see what they mean by spirit. Okay, beings on other planes are eager to communicate with you if you are willing to be receptive to them. beings on other planes. So energy healing is connected with these so-called entities that exist in unseen realms. And here we have a drawing of the chakra system. Now, like I said, or did I say, the chakra system is usually connected with yoga. Yoga and the chakra system are basically the same. And if you're skeptical, just go to any bookstore, go to the fitness section, okay, the fitness section, and go to the, they usually have a bunch of books on yoga in the fitness section, and you'll see that 90% of them show, you know, make reference to the chakra system. And right off the bat, I'm going to tell you why this system is anti-Christian, or un-Christian, or anti-Christian, is that the top two chakras, you can see them there? The one that's in the middle of the forehead is known as the third eye chakra. And when that one is activated, you have psychic powers. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, it specifically forbids psychic powers, right? You're all familiar with that? Okay, the top one is where this really conflicts with the gospel, with Christianity. That's called the crown chakra, and when that one is activated, then you know that you are divine. That is your connection with God, and you are God. It's called self-realization. And you know that you are God when that one is functioning. So clearly, there is a major contrast between energy healing and the Christian gospel. Because in Christianity, man is not God. Now, you can be a partaker of the divine spirit. You can be a son of God, son or daughter of God, you know, through faith, you know, you're saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8, 9, right? But you can never be God. You can never have the identity of God. So it's clear that you understand that right off the bat, and I'm sure most of you do. Well, anyhow, one of the more prominent energy healing systems is called Reiki. And it was, I shouldn't have done that. Kind of popped on its own. Reiki is a Japanese word. And it's two words. The REI in the West is commonly, or Reiki in the West is commonly explained as being universal life energy. Now that sounds kind of generic, right? Universal life energy. But in the Japanese language, in Japan, Reiki has a much more spiritual connotation. It can be translated a number of ways, but it can be translated as spirit guide energy or ghost energy. The REI has a reference to like spirit or spirits or, you know, the supernatural, and the ki or ki means energy. So Reiki in Japanese usually has more of an occultic connotation. This is the man who discovered Reiki, Dr. Mikeo Usui. He went up on a sacred mountain in Japan and meditated for a long period of time, and then this light came and hit him right in the middle of the forehead, and he was possessed by this light, this power. And then when he came off the mountain, he had the ability to heal, supposedly, you know. He had these healing abilities. And so he was the founder of the Reiki movement. And now, that was in late 1800s, I believe, and now when you Google Reiki in quotes, it yields 58 million results. 58 million, so this is around the world. You know, from what I've read, Reiki is found in every country in the world, virtually every country in the world, perhaps even North Korea and places like that. Okay, this is the Everything Reiki book, and this is where we're getting into what Reiki... this is strange. Okay, this is an official book on Reiki. This is something you buy in, you know... in regular bookstores. This is kind of like the Complete Idiot's Guide we looked at earlier. And it says, during the Reiki attunement process, see, you don't learn Reiki in the sense of like learning how to, you know, repair cars or something like that. You're attuned to it. You go to a Reiki master and they attune you to this energy in this process using these Reiki symbols. And it says, during the Reiki attunement process, the avenue that is opened within the body to allow Reiki to flow through also opens up the psychic communication centers. See, right there it clashes with Deuteronomy 18. You know, psychic powers are forbidden by the Bible. This is why many Reiki practitioners report having verbalized channel communications with the spirit world. And of course, we're going to see later that, you know, communication with the spirit world is also strictly forbidden within Christianity. Okay, these are known as the Reiki guides. And one Reiki master, Diane Stein, says, the Reiki guides are a group of discarnate, that means non-physical, healers who take part in every Reiki healing. Did you get that? Every Reiki healing. The Reiki 1 practitioner is probably not aware of them. But with Reiki 2, they begin to make themselves known. In Reiki 3, which is the master level, they are running the whole show. So do you see why, you know, a Christian would be concerned when something like this would get popular? I mean, there's reason to be, you know, having to have doubts about, you know, what exactly is this? You know, I mean, energy coming out of people's hands. Well, when you look, you know, like I said earlier, looking behind the curtain, you find out that these Reiki guides, these non-physical healers, are running the whole show. This is a Reiki magazine. This is head of the guy who's doing it, head of the International Center for Reiki Training. His name's William Rand. Notice what it says here, teaching Reiki to children. Y'all see that? Okay. During every attunement ceremony, I am always aware of the presence of my Reiki guides. Every attunement ceremony. And this is a man that's head of one of the major Reiki organizations in the world. Okay, this woman, this is kind of interesting. This woman is right in my backyard. Not literally, of course, but... See, I live in Salem, and she lives in Portland. And they're only about, you know, 40 miles or an hour's drive apart. And notice that, you know, she does not look what you would normally associate with occultism, right? She looks like a Christian Sunday school teacher. Traditionally, you know, when people have heard the word occult, they have a certain stereotype, right? Well, her name is Colleen Benelli, and... she says, I work with as many as 20 spirit guides during my Reiki treatments. They are my spiritual family. Many Reiki practitioners can feel the presence of their Reiki guides. This woman has 20 spirit guides, and they're her spiritual family. And like I said, I've been studying this for a long time, and this is, I didn't just pick out certain portions just to, you know, scare people. In book after book after book, one finds similar references to the spirit world. This is Diane Stein. She says, and this is why I said this is a major component of, you know, the end times or last days unfolding. She says, Reiki once belonged to everyone. The Reiki guides want it to be so again. They want it to be so again. So we're going to look at how that's taking place. The scope of Reiki. This woman is a Reiki master named Marie Hall, and when I found this out, it really was quite astounding. She was in the Czech Republic, based in the Czech Republic for 13 years, and she had taught Reiki to over 45,000 people worldwide. Now, she didn't do it on 45,000 people. She attuned 45,000 people to do it on others. You see what I mean? In other words, she initiated 45,000 people to be Reiki channelers. And most of them were in Europe. It says worldwide, but, you know, the vast majority were in Central Europe there, especially the Czech Republic. So one woman, you know, it's incredible, absolutely incredible. Reiki News says, according to William Lee Rand, there are at least 1 million people in the United States who channel Reiki energy. So that would be perhaps 100,000 to 200,000 people in Canada. I know that there's a lot of Reiki activity here in Calgary and a lot in Edmonton. We're going to see later just how far it extends. But and this is back around 2005 or 6 or so. And this is usually the context you'll find Reiki, not within so much religious circles, but within the health field. This is a book called The Triple Whammy Cure. And I saw this in a library near my hometown. And this has to do with health. This has to do with curing your health problems. And this one says, after a, after a first session, my patients regularly say, or no, this is the doctor that wrote this. After a first session, my patients regularly say, I really felt energy shifting within me. Then all of a sudden, I knew what I had to do with my life. You know, so, and what they had to do with their life is something you'll see later in this talk. This isn't a very long talk. This isn't really, I don't think this is going to last 45 minutes. It may, but to me, it's not so much quantity, but quality. You know, in talking about this, there's only a certain amount of information I could convey. Like, I could spend an hour just showing all this connection with spirit guides, but, you know, once you establish that this is connected with spirit guides, you know, I think that's enough, wouldn't you? You know, I don't have to belabor the point. So this talk is very specific. So there's a lot of people doing this, and it's done quite frequently in the context of curing what ails you. Reiki is being used in hospitals. According to the Reiki News magazine, 800 hospitals in the U.S., 15% have a Reiki practitioner on staff. Yeah, exactly. That's good. That's good. And, you know, the reason that they can be in hospitals is because they're not religious. You know, they're spiritual. Remember earlier, spiritual but not religious? That's why they can be in hospitals, because they don't have any particular religion, but yet they work with this energy that is connected with traditional occultism. Okay, a lot of Reiki is found in day spas. Because there's a, I looked in the phone book here at the hotel, and I noticed there were like huge numbers of massage therapists here in Calgary. There was like, it looked like there were like 300 or 400 of them, you know. And I would venture to guess that a high percentage, I don't know how many, but a high percentage would also be Reiki channelers. 5 years ago in a Google search with day spa and Reiki in quotes, there were 138,000 results. And today there are over 2 million results. So one of the major reasons I'm doing these talks, first of all, is to show you there's valid evidence from a spiritual perspective that we're in the last days. You know, something like this has just come on the scene in the last 20, 25 years or so. You know, Reiki wasn't brought to North America until around 1978, and since then it's just exploded. And the same is true in Europe. So this is a very recent phenomenon, but also to warn others. I mean, a lot of you may have friends or relatives or coworkers or, you know, people you know that, you know, come across this. And, you know, Reiki is presented in a very positive way. And to the people that do it, you know, they see nothing wrong with it. To them, it's just, you know, healing people. It's just healing, you know, people for, you know, to be better, you know, have a better life. So to them, they would see somebody critical of Reiki as being off base. But as I showed earlier, Reiki is connected with the chakra system, which is connected with beings on other planes. So there's no really, you know, negative conjecture here. To me, it's based on solid evidence. It's not like I just think that there's spirit guides. They actually say there's Reiki guides. So I have no qualms about, you know, telling you that this is incompatible with you know, Christianity and the gospel. This is another thing that kind of I found quite revealing. Reader's Digest is promoting Reiki. On their website, when you go to their website, they have a thing on healing, and they have this Reiki master here, and they have 9 little clips with her talking about Reiki and doing it on someone. Reader's Digest. Now, to me, Reader's Digest has always been connected with conservative social values, right? Like, you go to the doctor's office or dentist's office, there's a Reader's Digest there, and they've always been kind of associated with traditional Western culture, right? But now we have Reader's Digest promoting something that has been traditionally connected with occultism. And that's what I was trying to get across earlier, you know, the mystical revolution, is that things are changing, you know. Things that you normally thought were okay are now becoming impacted. So, to me, this was extremely noteworthy that Reader's Digest was on board with Reiki and actually had clips of it on their website. Okay, a number of, you know how celebrities will influence people to do things, right? Well, there's a number of celebrity fans who are connected with Reiki. Some are quite popular, Nicole Kidman, Uma Thurman, Angelina Jolie, who's married to Brad Pitt, Naomi Watts, Kate Bosworth, Holly Berry, Sandra Bullock, Goldie Hawn, Helen Hunt, and Sharon Stone. Now, some of these, like Sharon Stone, you know, haven't been really popular like in 20 years, but Sandra Bullock is still very popular. She was in a movie here a while back. She played a Christian woman who rescued this guy from... The Blind Side, yeah. So, you know, she was portraying a Christian woman. And I think she won the Oscar for that, Best Actress. Well, she is so much into Reiki, she actually wears Reiki-infused jewelry. Actress Sandra Bullock is aware of Reiki-infused jewelry by Los Angeles designer and Reiki master, Catherine Michaels. So, you know, when people find this out, it makes them curious, and they think, well, you know, Sandra Bullock's a really likable person. If she's into it, then it must be okay. How many of you remember a show called Riverdance? You know, Irish dancing where you kind of, you know, have your hands like this. And, well, you remember Michael Flatley? He was, had a number. One was called, what, Feet of Flames or something like that. Well, anyhow, he is really into Reiki, and he says that when he's injured, doing his dancing, that he has Reiki done on his injuries, and he says, it sounds crazy, but the evidence speaks for itself. I start to feel better as soon as the healer touches my injury. So again, more and more people are starting to advocate this as probably the most influential one is Dr. Mehmet Oz. He and I've watched him. He's a nice guy, and most of what he says is very practical and very sound. You know, he talks about nutrition, he talks about exercise, he talks about eating healthy, you know, and all that. But he also is very much connected to the Reiki movement. He said, on January 6, 2010, Dr. Oz revealed his ultimate alternative medicine secrets for 2010 during his nationally broadcast afternoon talk show. He ranked Reiki number one. Dr. Oz said, Reiki is one of my favorites. We've been using it for years in the Oz family, and we swear by it. Now, this is the same Reiki that I showed earlier. There's no such thing as Reiki with guides and Reiki without guides, because it's based on the chakra system. And the chakra system always is connected with beings on other planes. So you can't really have innocent Reiki. And his wife is actually a Reiki master. That's her. A Reiki master is someone who can initiate you into it. See, there's three levels. The first level is you can do it on people. And the second level is you can do it on people thousands of miles away. It's like all you need is their picture or something connected to them, and you do it on that, and then they feel it. Remember, I talked to a Reiki master in Oregon there, and she was from New Zealand, and she was in London, and she did it on her dad in New Zealand, and he could feel it. All you need is like a picture or something. It's kind of voodoo-like. But anyhow, Lisa Oz, she wrote this book, and in it she says, I am a certified Reiki master, the third level is where you initiate people into it. Third level, you can like produce Reiki channelers, and that's what she is. They're called masters, Reiki masters, and that's what she is. So this is one of the most influential doctors in the world, Dr. Oz. Okay, this was quite interesting. This was a man in Kentucky sent this to me, and this was, I don't know if you can see it really well, but this was Reiki initiations were actually sponsored by the Franklin County Board of Education and the Kentucky Department of Education, and this was being done at a local high school. This was being, those of you in government might find it kind of unique that Reiki was being promoted by the state and county governments, and it was being done in the local high school, not to the students. This wasn't during the school session, you know. This was done like on a weekend or something like that. But the fact that, you know, the government would promote this was an indication, as like I said earlier, that Reiki is becoming part of North American society. You know, it's not like you have to go to some gypsy woman off in some cave somewhere or some, you know, some place that's like sleazy or down and out. You know, the people in government are actually promoting this and actually seeing this as part of, you know, what society should be made up of. It becomes integrated society. And remember what you know, we saw earlier? The Reiki guides want this to belong to everyone. To everyone. Okay, I found a Reiki center in Peace River, of all places. Now, from what I understand, Peace River is, you know, way far away from, you know, Edmonton and all the major cities. And it said, I decided it was time for a change, so I made it. How about you? And, you know, this looks like a teenage girl or young woman. And this guy, he has weekend retreats. The weekend Reiki retreats are the cornerstone of our certificate programs, lifelong learning and support. So in Peace River, you know, isn't it some kind of a vacation area? A lot of people go there. Is it? No? Okay. Oh, Northwest, that's right. Yeah, Jasper in that area. But anyhow, well, that was a faux pas. I just thought, you know, yeah, that's right, that's right. That's more flat up there, isn't it? Yeah, so why go there when you go to Jasper, right? Anyhow, I thought it was, you know, significant that even in these, you know, remote small towns, there are Reiki, or there is Reiki. There are other types of energy healing. This is a organization called Barbara Brennan School of Healing, and they have centers all over the world, and this is their center in Austria. And it's like Reiki, the same concept. It's based on the chakras. She put out this book called Hands of Light. It sold 1.2 million copies. And it, you know, talks about, you know, meditation and healing, and it also has the chakras in it. If you ever come across this, or any of your family members or friends or whatever, write this term down, chakra. If there's any kind of a, you know, ask them, well, is this based on the chakras? If they say yes, then get out of there. I mean, tell them to get out of there, because the chakra system is connected with occultism. Another one is therapeutic touch. This was founded by a nurse in New York called Dolores Krieger. She developed it in 1972. See, that's what I'm saying, that all this happened just in the Reiki came to North America in the late 70s, and she developed this in 1972. And she, you know, actually acknowledged that it has a high occult factor. And by that, she means that it's based on the chakra system. And this is used in many hospitals in North America, taught to many nurses. And in a Google search for therapeutic touch, it yields 947,000 results. Uh-oh, no, the results are twice. I hate it when that happens. Okay, quantum touch is another one. A Google search for quantum touch reveals 723,000 results. This is the man that founded started the quantum touch movement, Dr. Richard Gordon. And he says that Richard Gordon is a highly experienced energy healer and founder of Quantum Touch, a global health institution. And again, this is very popular in Canada. There's many, many trainers here in Canada. With 35 years of experience, Richard Gordon is considered a visionary and pioneer in the field of energy healing. Mr. Gordon is the best-selling author of Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, now in 17 languages. And that's his book, Quantum Touch. Richard Gordon reveals in his book that he learned about the chakras from Lazarus. Now, Lazarus, that's how it's pronounced, Lazarus, because I got familiar with this entity right off the bat when I started researching the New Age. Well, Lazarus is a spirit guide whom people have blendings with. You go to these conferences and you blend with Lazarus. And also he believes, Lazarus says that Lucifer is a good being, that Lucifer has gotten a bad rap as being the devil, and that Lucifer is really a wonderful individual. But you have blendings with Lazarus. So this quantum touch, the power to heal, is based on this demonic spirit called Lazarus who praises Lucifer. Now, this is important to talk about here, because I had a friend, his son, 16-year-old son, got in a car wreck. And so he was injured, and he went to a physical therapist, and the physical therapist did quantum touch on him. And so this is what I'm talking about here. You know, anyone can encounter something like this in any medical setting, you know, any place where you go to improve your health. And of course, the son, you know, prayed and rebuked, you know, the spirit behind quantum touch. So, but you know, he didn't go out looking for trouble. You know, he wasn't moving in occult directions. He was just trying. You know, he was injured and he just wanted to get better. There's another one called the Oneness Blessing, and I know that's kind of a creepy picture there, but I figured, well, it is dramatic, and the Oneness Blessing is, you know, that's indicates what it's all about. That, you know, you get zapped, you fall under the power of these individuals. The Oneness Blessing comes out of India. There's a university in India called the Oneness University, and they train thousands of people to go out. And with Reiki, you know, it may take a long time. Usually a Reiki session lasts an hour, but with the Oneness Blessing, it only lasts 2 minutes. And they claim in 2 minutes you can, you know, really fall under the power. And then they call it the Oneness Blessing because after you've had it done on you, you feel like all is one, which is the classic Hindu view of God, that everything is connected because God is in everything. Okay, the Oneness Blessing. Millions of people have experienced it. Many thousands the world over are flocking to India to learn how to administer it, and celebrities from movie actors to high-tech executives to self-help gurus such as Tony Robbins. How many of you know who Tony Robbins is? Okay, quite a few. Are swearing by it. It's called Diksha. And if you believe its proponents, this new form of spiritual transmission is going to have quite an impact on spirituality in the new millennium. Okay, this was someone who attended a Tony Robbins. See, Tony Robbins is like a motivational guru, and sometimes hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands, attend his seminars. And one, I think it was a woman, said, "Thank you so much for sharing this beautiful experience. He can do it on everybody in the crowd, you know, the Oneness Blessing. I just returned from a Tony Robbins event where the Oneness Blessing was given twice during the week-long event. I know I want to see this spread across the whole planet for the healing I know we can all enjoy." So energy healing is starting to make a major impact in Western society. This is in Germany, called the One Light Healing Touch, and they have 10 schools just in Germany. But here's where it gets, you know, this is the culmination. This is probably one of the most important aspects of my talks here this weekend. There was a woman who was a teacher in Portland, Oregon, who injured her shoulder in a skiing accident, so she went to a Reiki channeler. Keep in mind, she went to the Reiki channeler simply to cure her shoulder. And she put out this, after she had been with the Reiki channeler a while, I don't know how long, but she put out this booklet called Attuning to Inner Guidance. And she actually became possessed going to a Reiki channeler. And she wrote this booklet called Attuning to Inner Guidance. And under the heading Listening Deeply Within, she said the following are wisdoms excerpted from my journal of channelings from my inner teacher, which would be a spirit guide. Remember earlier the Reiki guides, you know, every attunement, they're running the whole show. Well, this is the result of it. This is her spirit guide speaking. When the, okay, this This is what I mean by, you know, the end of the age. The Spirit guide says, when the coming together time is here, you'll all slip into gear without much resistance to each other. That induction will come in as a snap when enough of you are united in spirit. Now, I believe this coming together time is when the man of sin comes on the scene. That all these people, all this energy healing, all this yoga, all this stuff I've been talking about, Wicca and everything, people are being possessed, they're being taken over by spirit guides. And that at a certain time, this coming together time, is when this man of sin shows up, as the spirit guide says, you know, that induction will come as a snap when enough people are under their control. And this is what I mean by, you know, when I see this, you know, and I see how big Reiki is and how big quantum touch is and how big yoga is, because yoga is based on the chakra system too, I know that the end of the age is near, that this is not a fad, this is not going to go away, this is not something that's like disco or, you know, anything like that. That once these people are taken over, that's it. Unless somehow they're freed, they're, you know, their bondage is freed, which, you know, can be done. You know, I believe they can be freed, but for the most part, they're being taken over in huge numbers. You must be exactly where you are, doing exactly what you are doing. We cannot stress how vital that is to the overall work that is happening in Portland and everywhere right now. Trust, trust. You know, so there's this relationship. She has a personal relationship with this entity, with this spirit. And this spirit is giving her instructions and guidance. And like I said earlier, you know, this is being carried out for the coming together time. But notice this word here. We cannot stress. It didn't say I cannot stress. It says we cannot stress. There's a we here. You know, well, who are we? You know, I would believe, I would say that this is the realm of familiar spirits. You know, the legions of, we are legion. That's what I would propose to you. The master will guide. Do not have concern. It is all happening. Make inner guidance commonplace. Get it out there for the everyman. And by inner guidance, she means what she has experienced. You know, in other words, being possessed by one of these spirit guides, and then they're running your life for you. Get it out there for the everyman. Make it commonplace. And then it gets real personal. I love you, Storma. Nothing is more important than to be a clear, resonating vessel to channel through the will of the universe. Trust in me, your Lord. So I know some of you may be skeptical, but when you go home, you can actually research this for yourself. You can actually see how much Reiki there is in Calgary. You can actually validate this. And now that you know what's behind it, you know, like when you see that people that have this done on them go in this direction, they do not, people that have Reiki done on them do not wind up believing the gospel of the grace of God. The people that have Reiki done on them do not wind up believing Romans 5:9, you know, being now justified by his blood. They do not believe that. They wind up believing, trust in me, your Lord. And here's, you know, the old saying, one picture is worth 1,000 words, right? Well, this is from that book, Hands of Light. There's somebody on the table, and then you see the practitioner there. Do you see what's on both sides of her? Can you see it? Yes, spirits. So that is, one picture is worth 1,000 words. Okay, I have just one verse to share with you. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits or demonic spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled or corrupted by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, people that do energy healing are basically wizards. In Hebrew, the word wizard means a knowing one, a knowing one. In other words, you have knowledge of supernatural powers. I know you were all growing up, you all saw wizards on cartoons and you know, stupid movies and all this, and you thought, oh, there's no wizards. But, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, it says there are wizards, and these wizards are people that are like the Storma woman, possessed by inner guides, and they have power through these inner guides. Remember Acts 16, you know, a woman, a young girl possessed by a spirit of divination, you know, and Paul cast it out of her. Well, this is what we're talking about. The same spirits are possessing people now here in our modern society, and you can find them in hospitals, you can find them in day spas, you can find them in clinics, you can find them in schools, you can, you know, I've even though Reiki is not primarily religious, I have found it in churches in, what is that town, Winkler, Manitoba. There was a woman doing Reiki whose her husband was a deacon in a Baptist church. You know, this was in Winkler, Manitoba. You know, a lot of Reiki in churches, but and a lot of pastors don't know what to do. You know, they're kind of puzzled, or they're kind of, you know, like, what is this? You know, and this is just a healing technique. You know, there's nothing religious about it. This is based on the chakras. Oh, okay, you know, but okay. That concludes the talk. Thank you very much.